Now, in view of the most recent past events in our nation and around the world, it appears to me that one of the most questioned subjects regarding the times that we are living in is whether or not we can have peace in our time. Maybe you would agree with me. The answer to this question has been considered by just about every religious and political persuasion, every brand of belief or unbelief, every culture and society and people of every race and nationality seeking some form of peace. The question of peace in our times is a consideration, I believe, that is concerning the hearts of many people around the world. Can we have peace in our times? As modern-day Americans living in a nation that has been, for the most part, prosperous and secure as a whole, we have suffered little, relatively speaking, in comparison to many millions of other people around the world who are living under the life-threatening conditions of oppressive governmental regimes. And yet, even in America, there is a longing for peace. It's been said that the longing for peace can be considered to be universal around the world today. And not only a longing for national and geopolitical peace, but also for the personal peace that would settle a person's burdened and troubled heart. As Spirit-filled, born-again Christians, the peace of God has been made available to us through the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
Providing us with peace of heart and mind in the midst of turbulent times. We can have peace.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes. Amen.
But what about the prospect of world peace? There are numerous references in the Bible regarding peace. And many passages refer to a coming time when all the nations of the world will be at peace with one another. Anybody looking forward to that other than me? The Word of God definitely predicts a time when there will be universal world peace. Many of the biblical references regarding universal world peace are messianic prophecies. Messianic prophecies pointing to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen? When He will establish His kingdom of perfect righteousness and peace. Amen?
Amen.
He will establish His kingdom.
Amen.
He will establish dominion over all the earth.
Amen.
If we could do it, He wouldn't have to come back.
Right.
Psalm 72, verse 7 points to that messianic time when the righteous will flourish and the abundance of peace will endure and be abounding. Anybody looking forward to that other than me?
Amen.
And Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4 points to that messianic time when the Lord will judge among the nations. And He will rebuke the people according to His righteous mediation. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nations shall not lift up sword against nation. And never again shall they learn of war. Amen? The Lord will bring that about, not humankind. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7 also points to that messianic time when there will be no end to the increase of His government and peace. And He will rule over His kingdom to establish it. He will establish it. He will uphold it with justice and righteousness. The Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Amen?
Amen.
If we could, He wouldn't have to come back.
That's right.
A time is coming when nations will give up their instruments of war and turn them into instruments of peace. Amen? Amen? But in the meantime, let's say that together. In the meantime, nations are arming themselves, spending billions and billions of dollars for military defense. Because the current geopolitical landscape of the world demands it. Nations need to defend themselves in the face of perceived relative insecurities that grip the hearts of world leaders and citizens alike. Perceived relative insecurities. Catch that. Perceived relative insecurities that grip the hearts of world leaders and citizens alike. And so for now, there is no true world peace in sight. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel longed for peace, and yet they did not have it in an ongoing way. Isn't that amazing? This is the nation that God chose. These were God-chosen people, a God-chosen nation. And still they did not have peace in an ongoing way. And it was because they waxed and waned in their willingness to yield their hearts and lives to God. They were repeatedly disobedient to God's directives. And so they forfeited the ongoing peace that God had in mind for them. How many of you recognize today that you can forfeit the fullness of God's blessing in your life, even as a believer? If you're going to dig your heels into a place of defiant disobedience, you're going to forfeit the fullness of God's blessing in your life. You're going to forfeit the fullness of the ministry that He's called you to do. The promise of God for ongoing peace was conditional. And the prophets accordingly exhorted the people to turn their lives back to God if they were to have any chance for ongoing peace in the midst of other hostile nations. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 gives us an example of a conditional promise for God's peace and blessing. That if, underline the word if, that if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. And then I will forgive their sin. And then I will hear their land. I will heal their land. It's if and then. Amen? Amen. God's saying that if you, then I will.
That's right.
But if you don't, then I won't. That's something that a lot of modern day Christians don't want to hear. With all the decreeing and declaring going on, where's the obedience? Where's the repentant recommitment to obey what God's Word says and to live the way that God's Word says to live? This conditional promise of peace from God was given to the nation of Israel under the Old Testament order of things. And in effect, I believe God was saying that if you obey me, I will give you peace. If you obey me, I will prosper you. If you obey me, I will give you rest among your enemies. Isn't that amazing? And I will keep you from pestilence and disaster. Does that motivate anybody here to thorough obedience?
Amen.
It does for me.
Mm-hmm.
Keeps me in check. But if they did not obey, catch this now, there's two sides to the coin. If they did not obey, then God would pour judgment after judgment after judgment upon them. Chapters 28 to 30 of the book of Deuteronomy gives a detailed description of the terms of God's conditioned promise for peace and blessing. Check it out this week in your Bible study time. I'm not making this stuff up. Chapters 28 to 30 in Deuteronomy. Those chapters always get my attention. As to how serious God is about us sorely obeying His word and thoroughly participating in what He has in mind for our lives. Amen?
Amen.
And submitting ourselves to the authority structure that He has set in place.
Amen.
For the propagation of what He has in mind.
Hallelujah.
For the people of God. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And yet, in spite of God's clear warning over and over and over and over again, Israel as a nation repeatedly turned its back on God. Repeatedly turned their back on Moses. And the result was recurring national unrest. Sounds much like what's gone on in our nation over the past 60 years. If you look at the history of our nation over the past 60 years, this nation has crossed every immoral boundary that God has warned us about. And we continue to do it as a nation as a whole. And I believe that God is staying His hand of punishment and judgment upon this nation. But the time will come, unless this nation turns as a whole, then we'll see God's judgment come upon this nation in a way like we've never seen it before. All we have to do is look at the scriptures and see how He dealt with Israel. Why would He deal any differently with the United States of America? The bottom line is that there can be no true peace apart from a submitted relationship to the one true God, personally and nationally. The founders of our nation acknowledged that our biblically based constitution would only work for a God-fearing and moral people. And as a whole, this nation is not God-fearing. This nation is not a moral people as a whole. Oh, there are pockets of God-fearing people. And there are pockets of moral people. But as a whole, we're not a God-fearing nation. We're not a moral nation. If you're looking for true lasting peace, it will not be found unless you find it in a thoroughly submitted personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Oh, there's a lot of forfeit types of peace out there. New Age kind of peace and all the different kinds of peace that are out there that are not true peace. The only kind of true lasting peace comes through a submitted relationship to God through Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord. Amen?
Amen?
That is the only place where a person can find true lasting peace, because the one true eternal God is the author of true peace. Amen?
Amen. Amen?
And so how can anyone expect to have personal peace when he or she is at odds with Almighty God? Let alone universal world peace, which is being held in abeyance, I believe, by military forces until Jesus Christ comes again with His angelic hosts, with His army, to establish His kingdom of perfect righteousness and peace on this soon-to-be reconfigured earth, where we will rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years in His millennial reign over the nations. Amen?
Amen.
Check it out in Revelation chapter 20 for yourself this week. In the meantime, since we live in a fallen world, there is nothing that man can do in and of ourselves to bring about ongoing world peace. If we could, then Jesus wouldn't have to return. But the peace of God, catch this now, in the midst of the war-torn uncertainties of the world, has been made available to every person, to every person, to every person who would admit their sinfulness. Here we go. Who would repentantly believe and trust and submit their lives to the salvation and lordship of Jesus Christ. The peace of God has been made available to every person that would do that in the midst of the war-torn uncertainties of the world. The peace of God is available.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
There is a way which has been bought by the precious, sinless, shed blood of Jesus Christ. And the Lord is able to bring peace with God for the sinner who is estranged from God without hope, doomed only to suffer God's righteous judgment. And yet the peace of God is provided for the sinner who deserves to die, who in and of ourselves deserves to be punished, apart from the merit of Jesus Christ, and yet He died in our place to pay the penalty for our sins, making a way for us to have the peace of God. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
Anybody else glad for that? Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 encourages us along these lines, that the peace of God has been made available through the intervention of Jesus Christ for all those who believe, having made peace with God for us through His blood on the cross. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And further encouragement along these lines from Romans chapter 5, verse 1. That since we have been justified, acquitted of our sin, and declared blameless before God by faith, let us grasp the fact, grasp the fact, grasp the fact that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We have the peace of God. The question is, are we experiencing the peace of God?
Right. Right.
We may not have true peace among nations, but we can have peace with God in the midst, which is the position of every born-again, Spirit-filled believer.
Hallelujah.
It should be just a matter of fact.
Right.
You either have the peace of God or you don't. And if you're born again, you have it.
That's right.
And if you're not, you don't. Sometimes I think we make it more complicated than it is.
Yeah.
Make no mistake about it, the peace of God is not something you can earn or achieve in and of yourself. It's a gift from God. For those who thoroughly submit their lives to Him, catch this now, bringing with it a tangible sense of settledness. It's not just an ethereal thing. It's something you can tangibly experience.
Amen.
It's a gift from God, the peace of God, bringing with it a tangible sense of settledness in our mindset and in our emotions. The peace of God gives us the capacity to experience a real sense of calm in the midst of turbulent times.
Amen.
Anybody here other than me experience some of that yet since you've come to know the Lord?
Amen.
Thank you,
Lord. Yes. That peace that surpasses the natural understanding of what's going on around you?
Yes.
And you go, man, I shouldn't have peace right now, but I do.
Yeah.
John chapter 14, verse 27 encourages us along these lines. Jesus was reassuring His followers then, and God by His Word and by His Spirit is reassuring each of us here today. And the Amplified transliteration reads it like this. This was Jesus talking. He was talking to His disciples then, and He's talking to you right now. Peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. My perfect peace I give to you. My perfect peace I give to you. My perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. And so do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. But let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance, giving you courage and strength for every challenge. Do you receive that here today? Receive a fresh measure of that tangible peace of God right now. Are you enjoying the perfect peace of God experientially? Is the settling peace of God a consistent experience in your daily living? Our experience with the perfect peace of God, catch this now, is a function of our confidence in its perfect wisdom, power, and love. I want to say that again. Our experience, our tangible experience with the perfect peace of God is a function of our confidence in its perfect wisdom, power, and love. How confident are you in His perfect wisdom, power, and love for your life? Knowing beyond any shadow of a doubt that He will work all things together for the greater good of those that love Him above all else. Are you loving Him above all else in every area of your life? Knowing beyond any shadow of a doubt that He will work all things together for the greater good of those that love Him above all else, putting all our trust in the One who is infinitely wise and powerful, the One who knows all about everything. Amen. Let that sink in for a minute.
Amen.
Does that increase your surrender to trust Him? Does that increase your surrender to love Him above all else? The One who knows all about everything. I don't know about you, but sometimes that fact eludes me in the midst of whatever it is I'm going through. Does that happen to anyone else other than me in the midst of what you're going through? You lose sight of that simple, powerful fact that the One who knows all about everything is with me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Yes.
And He has not left me.
Hallelujah.
And He has not forsaken me.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Come on now. Yes. Hallelujah.
He who has perfect provision for everything that we would need.
Hallelujah.
When we have that kind of confidence, then we can enjoy the peace of God experientially in a more consistent and ongoing way. When we have a renewed confidence that our life is completely in the hands of a God who loves us so much that He sent His Son to die for us, then we can enjoy the tangible peace of God experientially. God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is encouraging each of us afresh today along these lines. From Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, the Amplified transliteration reads like this. That God will keep in perfect and constant peace. Catch this now. The one whose mind is steadfast, committed, and focused on Him. In both inclination of mind and character. Inwardly and outwardly. Because he trusts and takes refuge in the one true God with hope and confident expectation.
Amen.
And so if you're not enjoying the tangible peace of God experientially, then it's likely that you've become distracted in the midst of whatever you're going through. Taking your eyes off the Lord. Instead of keeping your focus on Him and your mindset steady on His promised faithfulness. And so I believe that one of the keys to enjoying the tangible peace of God experientially, it's simple. Keep your mind stayed on Him. That's what Isaiah 26:3 promises. It's a discipline to keep your mind stayed on Him and His promised faithfulness. I know that's easier said than done at times. If you're not enjoying the tangible peace of God experientially, catch this now, then perhaps you need to reevaluate your prayer life. With respect to the directives from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7, the Amplified transliteration reads it like this. Do not be anxious or worried about anything. About anything? Can I be worried about certain things? Can I be anxious about certain things? Well, Paul said to the Philippians, and God by His Word and by His Spirit is saying to us today, do not be anxious or worried about anything. But in everything, in every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving to God for all that He has done and all that He is doing, continue to make your specific requests known to God. And then the peace of God, which is that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all natural understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ, is yours. Amen? We have the peace of God through the gift of the Holy Spirit in us, through the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us, but are we experiencing the peace of God? Prayers are part of the equation, and the manifestation of experiential peace is God's part of the equation. Amen? We pray, and He brings peace our way. Amen?
Amen.
It's the kind of prayer that surrenders our will and our mindset and our emotions to our perfectly loving and faithful God. Especially when we feel like our emotions have overtaken us. Anybody here other than me feel like that at times? Especially when we feel like we've come to the end of our mental reasonings about what's going on in our lives. Rest assured that through prayers of trusted surrender, God will take the troubled mind and shaken emotions and settle them with His perfect peace. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
But we have to do our part. Amen?
Amen?
Now in the moment, He may not give you the answer to solve whatever situation or circumstances are troubling you. Doesn't that frustrate you when you're praying and saying, oh God, just give me the answer so I can fill in the blanks and boom! And all the troubles are gone. But when we pray in a surrendered way, He may not give you the answer to solve whatever situation or circumstances are troubling you, but He will give you peace. That He will work it out in His time and in His way as you continue to trust Him. Continue to trust Him. Let's say that together. Continue to trust Him. Say it again. Continue to trust Him. Say it like you mean it. Continue to trust Him. If you're not enjoying the tangible peace of God experientially, it may be that your natural tendency is to worry about things. Some people just have a natural tendency to worrying. I think sometimes it might be genetic. Maybe it's part of their DNA. Maybe there's a worry locus locus, there's a worry locus on the DNA helix. And so, if you're not enjoying the tangible peace of God experientially, it may be that your natural tendency is to worry about things. And even though your worries may be well-intentioned or seemingly well-justified, your worrying is ultimately robbing you of the peace of God. Anybody here talk to someone that's trying to justify their worry and say, well, here's why I'm worried. I'm worried because of this, and my heart is this for that worry. And that's why I'm worrying. I'm so worried. Worrying doesn't change anything. Amen? Let's say that together. Worrying doesn't change anything. It just robs you of the peace of God. At least that's been my experience. It comes down to what you are allowing to rule over your heart. That's what it comes down to. What are you allowing to rule over your heart, which includes your mindset and your emotions? What are you allowing to rule over your mindset? What are you allowing to rule over your emotions? Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 urges us afresh today from the Amplified transliteration. Let the peace of Christ, underline the word let. We have to let it. We have to let it. Let the peace of Christ, what is that? That being the inner calm of one who walks in daily intimacy with Him. Let that be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding the questions and settling the emotions that arise. It's to this kind of peace, indeed, that you are called to as members in one body of believers in Christ. Amen? For me, that's a motivator to follow the Apostle Paul's direction, to purpose to walk at all times in the Spirit. It's a discipline. We have to discipline ourselves to incline ourselves to the Spirit as continuously as we can throughout each and every day. With a cacophony of distractions and swirling things that are going on all around us, it takes discipline to say, I'm going to incline myself to the Spirit. That's where the peace of God is. Amen? That's where the direction of God is. Amen?
Amen.
Understand this afresh today, that the Greek root word for rule in this verse, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, the Greek root word for rule in this verse means umpire. And so what are you allowing to umpire your mindset and emotions in the midst of whatever you're considering? What are you allowing to umpire your mindset and emotions in the midst of whatever you're going through? Worry or peace? Worry or peace? The choice is yours. God can't make the choice for you. He's asking you to make the choice. Amen?
Amen.
God's desire is that we would have ongoing experiential knowledge of His peace. And so everyone who is willing to trust Him through Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord will have the opportunity to experience the peace of God in their lives. And so if we can trust God for the peaceful assurance of our future eternal destiny and the life to come, then we can certainly trust Him to give us His peaceful assurance in the ordinary, everyday problems of this life. Don't you think? We can have a peaceful assurance for something that we can't yet see. Then why can't we have a peaceful assurance for the things that we do see? Make no mistake about it. God never promised us an always easy time in this life. Don't you wish He had? Come to Jesus, and it's always going to be easy for you. And so the promise of God's peace in the life of a believer, catch this now, the promise of God's peace in the life of a believer does not exempt us from troubles that would be disturbing to us. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, that in this world, this is Jesus talking, in this world, you will have tribulation. You will have distress. You will have suffering. But be courageous. Be confident. Be undaunted and filled with joy. For I have overcome the world, and my victory is abiding. And I tell you these things so that you will have perfect peace in me. Amen?
Amen.
That was from the Amplified transliteration. Amen. Jesus said, my victory is abiding. His victory is abiding. Let's say that together. His victory is abiding. Again, His victory is abiding. One more time. His victory is abiding. Make no mistake about it. The experiential peace of God is one of the distinguishing characteristics in the life of a Spirit-filled, born-again follower of Jesus Christ. It should be a distinguishing characteristic in our lives, such that in the midst of the unrest and the chaos and the uncertainties of a troubled world, the born-again believer not only has the peaceful assurance of one day being in heaven, but also the assurance of the peace of God in our day-to-day experiences. The experiential peace of God in our lives, catch this now, is one way that we can be a living testimony to the people around us. To those who are stricken with worrisome anxieties about everything that's going on around us in this nation and world, and wondering why and how you're so calm about it all. Effectively setting us up to share the good news of God's grace with them through Jesus Christ. Amen? Who is the substance and the means of true ongoing peace for anyone who is willing to entrust their lives to Christ and let the peace of God rule in their hearts.
Amen? Hallelujah.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
Are you motivated afresh today?
Yes.
To incline yourself to the peace of God that you have? That would be part of your testimony before men, that would get their attention, that would give you an opportunity to share the good news of God's grace and peace that they too could have.
Amen?
Amen.
Yes.
Bow your heads and take a quiet moment of prayer response now to the word of the Lord as it's come to you today.